Say, praise the Lord, all of you.
Praise the Lord.
Wala pa mahaw ka mo pa. Say again.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise God. Alright, if you have a Bible, I want to read to you only dua ka versikulo sa sini nga aga. Okay, Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 8. And I would like to read to you from the ESV version. It says here, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. In some version, verse 8 is deliverance belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Let's pray. Mga muyok kita tanan. Father, I just want to commit this message to you. Hide me behind the cross. Let Jesus shine forth. And let me, O Lord, be your vessel today. Share the word of God, Lord, with your anointing. And meet and challenge the hearts and the spirit and the soul of our people here today through the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Amen. What lies ahead of year 2024? Nobody can predict. For some of you, you had a very bad year last year. And so, you're looking at 2024 with fears, doubts, and caution. For some of you, year 2023 was a great year, and this gives you the confidence to look more positively at year 2024. Now, whether your outlook, whether your expectations are negative or positive, we cannot still control events, circumstances, nature, and even people. And so the best assets that we can embrace, that we can have, is to know what God is to us. Once we know what God is to us, we will have the best resource, the best help, the best power to face what comes may in year 2024. Psalms 3 finds its background in David's flight from his rebellious son Absalom. David had fled from the palace in Jerusalem and was hiding in Mount Olive, the wilderness. Psalms 3 was written in the morning by David when he became a fugitive from Absalom. That is why Psalms 3 is known as the morning Psalms. And it is related to Psalms 4, which is known as the evening Psalms. It is said that Psalms 3 was written by David in the morning, whereas Psalms 4 was written by David in the evening. In Psalms 3, David expressed his confidence in the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letter, which means Yahweh. For what? To protect him from his enemies. He knew what Yahweh was to him when life fell apart for him. He knew that Yahweh was his shield, his glory, and the lifter of his head. Brothers and sisters, this morning, my sermon is entitled, My Shield, My Glory, and the Lifter of My Head. My outline will be as follows. What is Yahweh to me? It's very personal. Yahweh is my shield. Next, Yahweh is my glory. Next, Yahweh is the lifter of my head. Secondly, I would like to share with you, what has our greater David, namely Christ, done for us in this area? Number three, facing year 2024 with God as my shield, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Let's go to the main points. If we know what God is to us, then like David, we can face the ups and the downs of year 2024 valiantly. We can emerge on the other side of our ordeal or testing or disappointment that year 2024 may bring, restored and vindicated. But we must know what Yahweh is to us. So what is Yahweh to us? My very first point. What is Yahweh to us? Number one, Yahweh is my shield. Verse 3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me. I underline all those versicolo that I want to explain and share with you. David had to run away from his capital city, Jerusalem, because most of the people of the land had decided to follow his son Absalom instead. David had lost almost everything. He lost his leadership. He had lost his leadership, his city, the hearts of his people, and even his own son, his own possession. He had lost almost everything of worth in his life and was perhaps about to lose his very own life if he was not careful about it. And it is in this context that David wrote these words, "You, O Lord, are a shield about me." David is writing this psalm in a time of excruciating pain, excruciating trial for him. And so, it speaks to all of us here today who have been, will be, or are right now in the midst of a trial in life about what God can be for us in those trying times. Notice immediately that David is addressing God not as Elohim, as G-O-D, but as L-O-R-D in capital letters. Whenever you read the Bible and you see the word Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, it means that in the original Hebrew Bible, that is not the Hebrew word for L-O-R-D. L in capital letter, O-R-D in small letters. It is not the Hebrew word for Adonai. It's not the Hebrew word for L-O-R-D, small letters. It's not the Hebrew word for king. But rather, it is referring to this name of God called Yahweh, the personal name of God. What am I trying to tell you? It is not just any God that David is addressing here. It is not just any God or any religion which will do for you what David is talking about in Psalms chapter 3. It is only Yahweh, only the God of the Bible, only the personal God of the Bible, only the God of covenant, only the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who will be for you what verse 3 is talking about. The Lord is my shield. And it means Yahweh is my shield. God the Father is my shield. The Father God always assumes a protective role. In your family, you have a father. One of his three major roles is to protect you. So Yahweh, my Father, is my shield. What kind of shield? It is a shield of protection. A shield is an instrument of protection that a warrior keeps in front of him to keep him from the harmful weapons, namely the arrows or the spear that might be aimed at him. But the shield in the olden times were limited. They could only protect in the front of the soldier wherever he held up the shield before him. Therefore, verse 3 did not just stop there. Verse 3 did not say, Yahweh is my shield, amolang. No. Verse 3 continues by saying, Yahweh is a shield about me. There is another word about me that we always ignore. The word about in the Hebrew word is the same word that Jeremiah used in Lamentation 3:7, where Jeremiah says he was warred about by God so that he could not go out. The word warred about man, he was totally surrounded by God that he could not get out. What is the significance for us that is that this same word that is used in Psalms 3:3 is also the same word used by Jeremiah. And here, David is trying to tell you, when he declares that God is a shield about me, he's trying to tell you in layman terms that God totally surrounds my life, protects me as my impenetrable shield. Not just the front, but the side, left and right and back. David was totally warred about, totally surrounded by God's protection. God is a shield who totally surrounded, protected him from the danger around him posed by his rebellious son. God was his shield. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God will be your shield. God will also be my shield for year 2024. Whatever dangers you may face in the days to come in 2024, God is your shield that surrounds you, that walls you in. And this promise is not only given to David, who is the apple of God's eyes. Psalms 18:30 say that God is a shield to all who take refuge in him. To all, satanan tanan git, Not only kay David lang, but sa tanan-tanan git. So today, if you have committed your life to God, then you can know that God is your shield and He is also my shield. There's an old hymn written by John Ryland that says this: plagues and death around me fly. Till He beat, I cannot die. I stress the word till. I'm trying to tell you that in this hymn, the author is trying to tell you that God is a shield who totally surrounds His child. Nothing can touch us. We are invincible until God allows it through. Some of us need to be reminded today of the same thing. Some of you are worried about an impending medical test or diagnosis, or about a job situation, or about your finance, or about the multitudes of other things. I have one more scanning, ultrasound scanning to do. I've been taking the medicine for the 3 liter kidney stone on my right kidney for 1 month. I'm supposed to go for an ultrasound check. I have no time. So busy, no time. But I know that it's either next week or the week after that, I still have ultimately to go and take the test. And there is this kind of worry. What if the 3 stones still remains? Pastor Carlos told me, Pastor, and he is coming from somebody who has stones in both of his kidney. He said, Pastor, if you are a stone maker in your kidney, forever you'll be a stone maker. So I told him, I don't believe. You want to be a stone maker, you go ahead. I will be the way maker. Pastor Tony, me, we are praying, okay? Because we hate to take medicine. But I had to buy so many medicines. I think one whole bag, you know, from the Life Extension. And I had to bring so many of them even with me to Taiwan. So every time, you know, when I go, when it's, you know, you have to take 3 times a day to make sure that, you know, it gets flushed out or it gets dissolved. So I don't know. Maybe some of you are like me. There is a test that is waiting for you. Maybe it is a test of your uterus or your ovary or whatever. You're worried about what might be coming against you. But I want to assure you, if you are a Christian, you need to remember you're not going to be hit by random misfortune, random ills, because remember you are in the hands of God, you belong to God, and God is a shield around you. So it is a shield of protection. Not only is it a shield of protection, but it's also a shield of purpose. If God is a shield for every one of His disciples, that means there's nothing that touches our life which doesn't have to go through God first. Because God is our shield, and that means He totally covers us, and therefore we are indestructible until He says it is time. That means that whatever touches our life, whatever does go through the shield, has been allowed by God for some specific purpose. Look at Job. The devil Satan told Yahweh, oh, you love Job. Job loves you because, you know, you are the one that put the hedge around Job. You are the one that put a hedge around Job, around his house, around everything that he has. So, syempre, he loves you. Syempre, mas salik siya sa imo. So, Satan said that God is a hedge around Job. This word hedge is the same word used in Psalms 33, shield. It's the same word used by Jeremiah in Lamentation, wall around. So here, you will notice that Satan had to ask God's permission to attack Job and bring all the calamities that came upon him. God granted that permission because God had a purpose in it. I want to tell you that not one of Job's animal would have died unless God allowed it. None of Job's children could have been taken away unless God allowed it. None of the illnesses that struck Job's body would have touched Job unless it first came through the shield of God that totally surrounded him. God was Job's shield, and nothing could have touched him unless God had some purpose for it to come through the shield. Nothing touches us without being allowed to come through God's shield first. If something has come through God's shield to touch you, then it is not an accident. There is some divine purpose for that thing to go through the shield. Yes. And it's not a fatal purpose. It is the divine purpose. And that brings me to my next point. Look for God's purpose then. Whenever you are afflicted, in the days to come for year 2024, don't blindly, you know, take the blow. Don't blindly go through the suffering. Look for God's reason and purpose behind it. Why did this happen? Why did God allow it? And today, I want to share with you some biblical purpose which God has allowed for allowing the trials to go through His shield of protection. What are those biblical purposes? Number one, it may be to purify your life from sin. I'm not saying that every time you suffer, there's some sin. Remember in the Bible, when the disciple asked Jesus, oh, this man was born blind, or this man was born blind. Is it because of the sin of the parents? No, you cannot attribute everything to sin. Yet, I want to tell you, okay, even though not everything is because of sin, yet we are not perfect. Purifying you from certain sin may not be the reason God has for what you're going through, but it still might be one of the reasons. David said in Psalms, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So even if sin may not be the main reason, but we are not perfect, we cannot say we are sinless. We cannot say we are blameless unless it is in the name of Jesus Christ. So maybe there's some possibility that one of the reasons could be your sin. So if being cleansed from a certain sin is not the main reason why God has to put you in trouble, you should still use your affliction to play safe. You should still use your affliction, your suffering as a time of confession and repentance. And see if there's something that God wants to purify your life from. What is some of the reasons? What is the divine purpose that God allows trials to go through the shield of God? It may be that God wants you to learn something in this trial that you can use in ministry to others. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When we as God's people endure trials, we learn, we gain perspective, which we are then able to share with others. Like Paul said, we can then comfort others with the very comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted. If God has allowed some suffering and pains to touch your life, then surely He has a purpose for it. And one of the purposes is that you will gain skills, you will gain sympathy, you will gain understanding during your time of trial, which you can then use in turn to bless and minister to others in a way that you would never have been able to had you not been afflicted. Next, what's another purpose? Why God allowed the trial to go through the shield? It may be to make you more like Christ. And that is God's overall goal for your life. Many people miss this mark. We love to quote Romans 8, 28, 29, but we always forget about versicolo 29. Verse 28 says that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And we stop there. Untuk kita tenang diri. We stop here. No. Go to the next verse, versicolo 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. We love to claim, verse 28, oh, all things work together for good. What is the good here? What is the good mentioned here? The good here is that God will use this trial to make you more like His Son, to conform you to the very image of His Son, to make you more like Christ. So sometimes, yes, you are surrounded by God. And God sometimes allows the trials to go through, to penetrate through the shield, is to make you more like Christ. Another purpose why sometimes the trial and the arrow go through the shield is to draw you to Himself, that you may know Him and to learn more of Him. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that we may know Thee. You don't just get saved, kaluwasan lang. No, we get saved so that we may know Thee. And the word know here is intimacy. Know Him intimately. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Paul is saying that knowing God was more important than anything else he could gain. God will allow some difficult things to go through the shield so that you may come to know him better. There is a poem, very beautiful poem. It's entitled, I Walked a Mile with Pleasure. And the poem goes like this. I walk a mile with pleasure. In this poem, pleasure is personified. I walk a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walk a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not, we learn a lot more from our walks with sorrow than with pleasure. You learn more from your affliction than from your prosperity. But the most important thing we learn from the sorrows that God allowed in our life and permitted in our life is a closer walk with the Lord. There are so many people who have testified that they came to know the Lord for the very first time as a result of some sorrow like illness. There are so many people who have testified that they have never been closer to the Lord than they had been through their weaknesses, their sorrows, their pain, their losses. Many have learned from it, grown closer to the Lord than ever, and now they understand why God would have led that through the shield. What is God to us? Another aspect that you need to know in order to tackle 2024. Number two, Yahweh is my glory. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are my glory. Let's look at the meaning of the word glory. The word glory here in Hebrew, that's written in Psalms 3:3, is kabodi. My glory in Hebrew means kabodi. The word kabod without the I means glory. But if you add one I to the Hebrew word, it means my. So kabod means glory. Kabodi means my glory. So kabod in Hebrew means honor, splendor, and glory. Kabod means in English, weighty, but'at. Sometimes we speak of people as having gravitas. This person is a person of gravitas. The word gravitas means this person has a weight of personality. This person has an importance about their being. And that is the meaning of the word glory. That's the meaning of the word kabod. Now, what about kabodi? The word I. There's a personal my inside. Kabodi refers to one's inner self, the seat of honor in a man's heart. And this kabodi can also be found in Psalm 7:5 of how David's glory was trampled to the dust by the enemies. To put it in a simpler term, kabodi can also refer to the inner pride and honor of a man, the things he glories in the most. So when David says in Psalm 3:3, Yahweh, you are my glory, David is declaring God was his pride, God was his honor, God was the one thing he gloried the most. In Genesis 15:1, God told Abraham, I am a shield to you. It's the same promise God made to David. Whatever the promise God made to David, God had already made the same promise to Abraham, the forefather of David. So in 15:1, God told Abraham, I am a shield to you, but God did not stop there. I am also your exceedingly great reward. Some translation translate, you know, the second part as your reward shall be very great. Literally, God is trying to tell Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. To put it in the context of Psalm 3:3, God is trying to tell Abraham, I myself am your glory, I am your reward. So when you say, God, you are my glory, you're saying like what God says to Abraham, God, you are my reward. Glory also means reward. Over and over again, God is to be, the Bible tells us that God is to be the glory of his people. And this is what we are created for, to experience the glory of God. But that is exactly what we lost in the Garden of Eden when our forefathers sinned. The Bible says in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Therefore, when Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross. He paid for our sin. For what? So that if we would turn away from finding glory, from finding our reward, from finding our honor in the wrong things, and turn back to God. Then not only will we be forgiven, but we will know again the glory of God, which we were made in the first place in the Garden of Eden to experience. So when you are born again, the most important thing you gain is not the mansion sa langit. When you are born again, it is not the streets of gold that you'll be going to. When you're born again, it's not the pearly gates that you get to see in heaven. But when you're born again, it is the glory of God in His presence that's given to you to enjoy. When you're born again, you get to be in the presence of God, to enjoy the honor, the resplendent majesty of God. This is something that we lost when we sinned. But this glory will be given to you. And this glory will be your eternal joy. And it's not only eternal joy, but right now, you can experience the glory of God's presence. Now, in Psalms 33, David says that you are my glory. I'm going to stress the word, ikau, you. He praised God and found glory and pride in God when everything else failed, when he had lost everything. You are my glory. David is trying to tell us God was more important to him than anything else, than everything else put together. And we saw that the word glory means weighty, budat. When David said that God was his glory, God was not only important to him, but God is the weightiest of all. God is the heaviest thing in his life. He was saying that if you could put everything else one side, everything on one scale, and God on the other scale, God will still outweigh everything that David has in his life. There's nothing more important. And this is what God is for each of us as his follower. He is to carry the most weight of consideration in all our decisions. Let's look at decisions. Let's look at decision making. The most important factor for Christians in deciding not to be immoral is not that we are fearful to get pregnant or fearful to get STD, but when we decide not to be immoral, not to sleep around with a boyfriend and girlfriend before we get married. It's not because, oh, I'm scared to be found out by the pastor. I'm so scared that I'll get STD. Or I'm so scared that I'll be boozing at the age of 14. No! The most important factor of deciding not to be immoral is so that you will not tarnish the glory of God. Next, the most important factor for Christian in deciding not to cheat in your examination, in your class, or in stealing, it's not that you will get caught or go to prison, but that you will harm the glory of God. The most important decision for Christian in any decision is not how it might make them look or what it will do for them, but how it will make God look. So if God is your glory, means God is the weightiest person in your life. The decision you make is so that you will not tarnish his name. When I was in Taiwan, I was assigned together with my group, a driver slash tour guide, that is Piang, polio victim. And I was wondering, if you're a polio victim, how are you going to use your handicapped leg, you know, to step on the brake? Okay, and we are going to travel long distance. We go from the north to the east, cut through the mountains, Marble Mountain, the tallest mountain, 3,250 feet. And then down a little bit to the south, up back again to the central side, to the west, and then back again to the north. I was wondering, how are you going to tackle us? How are you going to handle us? And every time when he drove the van to pick our group up, we have so many baggages. He will come and, you know, carry, you know. And all of us will rush. And we say, it's okay, Mr. Tan. Kami na lang. But he still insists. But what was the thing? Actually, I was very, very disappointed. I felt that his boss, who met us only on the first day, took advantage of us because he asked about my occupation. And I told him that we are missionaries. So he was very impressed. And he said, wow, that's a very honorable job, after learning that we are here for 38 years. But why did I maintain my cool and was still very nice to him and still help him in many, many ways? I was the one among the group when we were all drinking Starbucks and he had to wait in the van for us. I won 10,000 pesos as a tourist. Any tourist that enter into Taiwan, you send in your QR code, okay? The government, all right, will let you play, you know, I don't know, the computer thing. There are 7 of us, including the baby. Everyone put a QR code. None of them won except me. So the 10,000 pesos allow me to drink any Starbucks in Taiwan free, to buy anything in Carrefour, a French supermarket, plus 2 more establishments in Taiwan free. And I can take the bus, I can take MRT free, even taxi is free. So I used the card to buy Starbucks and I treated the group. And we were all drinking, you know, and the Starbucks was one of the biggest in Taiwan. We were all drinking. Then I turned around, I told Pastor Tony, why don't you get the card, go and buy one more cup and give to the driver. So Pastor Tony did, and when we delivered the cup to him, he was stunned. Why did I do that? To be honest, I don't like him. Because when I talk to him, he's not conversant. He does not tell you the places of interest. He does not explain the landmarks to you. He functions just as a driver. He cannot explain well. I don't like him. But why? Why I want to be nice to him? Because he made a very major statement when he's driving. I saw the beads, the Buddhist beads, big one, round his wrist. It's a statement, I am a Buddhist. I am a Buddhist. It's like you putting a rosary over your neck. He put it round. Big beads. Come on, I came from a Buddhist family. We have rosary, but ours is not that big. His was very big. He made a statement, I'm a Buddhist. So I want to glorify my God. I want him to know that my God is a great God. My God is a good God. That even though you don't serve me well and I don't like you, I still want to be gracious to you. I still want to be compassionate to you. I was very nice to him. Not only I bought him the Starbucks, but when we were eating and we were on the mountaintop, it would take a long time for us to come down. And he put us in like a place, you know, of Pasir Lubong and something like a very mini, you know, food joint. I also told Pastor Tony, buy him a packet of food, feed him. On the last day, based on his service, if we were to give him 3,000 Taiwan dollars, it is enough. $5,000 would be very good, but we gave him 12,000 Taiwan dollars and it blew him back. It blew him back. And he boasted to the boss. And the boss, last minute, so nice to us, start texting us, thanking us on his behalf. And the next day, he told us that he's not going to fetch us. That was before he opened the love offering. He said he cannot fetch two of us because our flight of departure is different from Joy. Joy and Jen, they were about to leave 6 a.m. Our flight is 3 p.m. So we have to leave at 12. We don't want to check out so early. What for we go to airport and do nothing? So Pastor Tony said, okay, you're not trying to pick us up. So fine. We're supposed to give him 16,000. But because you're not picking us up, Pastor Tony took out another 3,000 for our taxi fare. It's very expensive to take taxi from Taipei to another part. It's 1 hour journey to the airport. Pastor Tony took out 3,000. So it's left 12,000. So after he fetched Joy and we gave him the money, he opened up. He realized the money was so big. Immediately, he texts us. Ah, I can come and fetch you. Eh, sang na liga, you say, hindi pwede. Now can? Wow, money works wonder. He came. And when he came, wow, he was very nice. And he started talking and talking. Wow, Baba Ansha, talk. Then I was looking, nah. For the last 10 days, he paused ka. Then subong Baba Anka. Too late. The boss write to us, this is my number, this is my company's name. If you come to Taiwan, we are more than ever willing to serve you. My heart. Sorry, bye-bye. I don't want to get you. I will go back to my old one. What I'm trying to share to you is this. There are people that are not nice to you. And this guy. But why? Why? Because I want to make statement to him. Then in the car, we were sitting. Then he was chatting. Then he turned around and he told us, I heard from my boss that both of you are pastors. Then we are, yes, we are pastors. But you didn't serve us well. I left, leaving a greater impact than his big rosary the message that Razi is trying to tell me. I left blessing him to let him know that even though your service sucks, we are gracious people. Why? The glory of God. I think of the reputation of God. Hello, are you there? Whatever decision you make, you think of the reputation of God. Not because of fear of pregnancy, fear of prison, fear of this and that. Next, substitute for God's glory. God is supposed to be our only glory. Yet, we make other things in our life weightier than God, which is actually idolatry. So sometimes God allows trials to go through the shield of protection is to purify us, namely from the sin of idolatry, which is a violation of the commandment number one, which is to love God with all our hearts. Brothers and sisters, all our setbacks in life, whether it's last year, or the setbacks to come for this year, is to remind us that our glory is only to be in God, nothing else. Not in any cheap substitute of this life, even though the substitute is logical, is legit. God is only the thing that cannot be taken away from us. The world is now facing a global meltdown, a global recession. Climatically, everything is going haywire. Would you be devastated? Let me ask you in practical application. Would you be devastated if you lose your retirement, lose your saving, lose your house, lose your car, lose your current lifestyle? If you glory in all those things, you will be in a very subokna position because they can all be easily lost. If there's one thing that God taught me in 2012, is that retirement, your employment is not even stable. God must be your glory. Would you be devastated next if you lose your job? Many guys get depressed when they are retrenched. It's not just their income they have lost. It's the status and the glory that they have lost. But what if you lose your job? What if you cannot work anymore this year? What if your company sack you? What if you lose that job you're so proud of? What if all those years of sacrifices for the sake of climbing the corporate ladder turn out to be a hoax, turn out to be in vain? Pastor Tony, we work so hard. We want to climb the highest religious corporate ladder. We want to be the best among all the Singapore missionaries. In the end, what did he land up? We lost everything. Don't glory in your job. You can lose it in a moment. Glory in God. What if you glory in your sports team? You bet on this NBA team. You bet, in your PBA team. And then your team didn't win. Brothers and sisters, where should your glory rest? In the athletic accomplishments of other people whom you just watch, who can lose or go into a slump? It is a poor place for your glory to rest. Let's be fans of God. Let's glory in God. What if you lose your fame and popularity? There's nothing more fleeting than the cheers of men. Anyone in public work will tell you. One moment you may be cheered, the next moment you may be booed. Boo! Any glory you may receive from people is fickle and fleeting. Find your glory in God alone. What was the most shocking news we received at the end of this year, or at the end of last year? It was the news of the suicide of one of the best actors in Korean. The guy that acted as a main supporting, no, not main, the one that acted as the supporting lead in, what do you call that? Prince, I don't know. Princess Hour, is it? And then the guy that acted best actor in the Korean movies show called Parasite. The guy who acted in the show, the drama that is very, very good called Mister. Why was he, why did he die? Because he was being investigated of drugs. And because of that, in the rules of Korean celebrity world, when you are attached to all the advertisers and once you have a scandal, they all pull back. And not only they all pull back, you have to compensate that by the millions. So his reputation, his fame took a plunge and he committed suicide. Would you be devastated next if you lose your family? Your glory cannot even be in your family. Your glory cannot be even in your spouse or your children. Like Job, your children may be taken from you in a moment's time. Or your children may turn their back on you or on God. Your spouse may die or leave you or become physically or mentally or emotionally impaired. Dementia. or not be the same person that you sow glory in. Next, girls, what if you lose your beauty or your physical appearance? Beauty and physical appearance can change in a moment, can't it? People always praise me for being a woman of determination. Why? Because after I was dumped by my boyfriend in college, I went from being a very slim teenager to a very overweight teenager. I ate and ate because I hated myself due to rejection. Until I came to the Philippines. Even to look at my picture in 1986 when I just arrived in the Philippines, I was a bubbly, chubby girl. And I was dalaga. But then, my senior pastor told me that Pastor Tony would never take a second look at me because I was tambok. So in order to gain Pastor Tony's love, I went on a drastic diet. And I slimmed down so much. And I maintained that slimness for the next 26 years until 2012, when we parted ways with our sending church. After we parted ways, I cast off all restraint because my attitude was, who are you to control how I look and what I eat? I'm going to eat what I want. Because the slimness came as a result of not eating what I want. And so I have been eating and eating what I want since 2012 until last year. And to confess to you, I put on 8.5 kilos in a span of 11 years. And I still didn't care. After 11 years of living with that overweight, what happened? My health took a beating. Fatty liver began to form. High cholesterol came out in the blood test, and I found 3 kidney stones in my right kidney. This time, the wake-up call was so severe, I began to wake up and I realized it is stupid, you know, to challenge that woman who had been criticizing me over my weight. This time, I worked and losing to put off, to lose the 8.5 kilo, not for the approval of that woman, but for health reasons. And I thank God for helping me to get back to shape. I started my intermittent fasting and exercise on October 1, exactly last year. And today, I've lost 6 kilos. I have 2.5 more kilos to go to hit my ideal weight. My point is this, slimness come and go at different seasons of our life. You can be very slim at the age of 20, 30, and 40, but once you hit 50, your hormones became the rebellious prodigal son. He will not listen to you. Even though you don't want to eat, even though wala ka onka, you just breathe the oxygen, you put on weight. If our glory is for a slim body, and if we lose it, are we going to commit suicide? Are we going to have a low self-image? I've always prided myself on being on the slim side. But during the 11 years, I lost them all. During that time, I thought, God, are you not only taking away my reputation, my ministry, my sending church, are you also taking away now my pride, which is my slim physique? But I think now, in retrospect, that was also part of the lesson. That's also part of why God led this through the shield, to remind me that only He was to be my glory. That even during the 11 years, when I was quite fat, I did not think of myself lower. I did not think that I was lesser loved by God. Because my definition is not by my fatness or my slimness. My definition is by what Jesus has done for me at the cross. And because of that, I am approved by my Father in heaven. But today, I want to slim down, not to look sexy. I slim down because I'm 60 years old, and there is a history of cancer in my family. And my mom, even though she didn't die of cancer, she has hypertension, she has diabetes, and I was just trying to keep the temple of the Holy Spirit healthy. Because without a good Holy Spirit temple, I cannot serve you. It's for the health reason, not because of my ex-boss, not because of the status symbol, slim, and then you know, you couldn't take the picture, the iPhone. Ooh, you must have triangle here, triangle there. Hello, are you there? In fact, I told Pastor Tony, Daddy, if I hit my goal to slim down is until end of this year, October. If I can get my ideal weight, I told Pastor Tony, I want to start an exercise connect. I will want to teach you all how to go on diet. I'll teach you how to exercise. And I want you all to invite those fat people, tambok nga people, saborangai, to come. And we'll use our garden as an exercise. Okay? I have this exercise that works very well for me. Yesterday I was exercising and my dog was there, watching. And what happened was that Pastor Tony passed by and he pretended not to look at my exercise. So when he was passing by, I still exercised. Sorry. And he went, you know, he passed by me and my little dog was there watching. And after I finished the exercise, I off the music, I went to drink. He said, dear, your exercise are grabe git no? It really are very intense eh. You idiot, no wonder you're slimmer than me now. I was dumbfounded. When I exercised, I never wanted to compete with him, but he was the one who competed with me. So what happened was that when I started this fasting and this exercise, this intermittent fast, I did it, as I said, because of the scanning results, because of the ultrasound results. It was bad. And when I did it, he followed me and he didn't want to exercise. But he was used by the devil to let the arrow go through the shield. He will always come to me, hey, after 2 days, I lost 2 kilo leh. I said, oh, okay, praise the Lord. Then next day, hey, I lose another 1 kilo. Oh, okay, praise the Lord. Then during the 2 weeks, I went to weigh myself. The needle, the same, buddy hole. Never go down. And I was discouraged. Because menopausal woman, it's very hard to lose weight. You have to be patient. You have to be patient, and then you have to change all the methods, which I found. And it took me, 3 weeks to find the right one. And finally, the metabolic rate kicks in. I think I don't want this. Give me the one. And that's where, this slimming thing kicks in, all right? Brothers and sisters, if you are fat, don't think that when you are slim, you'll be happy. And those of you, when you are slim, don't glory in your slimness and make it into a god. If you are fat, the Bible said, let every man remain in his state that he's called. If you are fat, let your self-image be found in Christ. But if you can do anything to gain back, that healthiness by losing weight, by all means do so. It's the same advice that Paul gives to the slave. All right? Are you a slave when you're born again? All right? Continue to be a slave. But if you can, seek the freedom. But if not, continue to be a slave. So I'm not saying that if you're fat, then you're a lesser person. But as I said, I need to slim down because I'm a senior citizen. It's for the health reasons. Had the scanning results came back not negative, I tell you, I will still be eating. But glory be to God. Only to God is our glory. Not in our slimness or our beauty. Trust and God's glory. Let's go on it. Do you know, sometimes God allows trials to come to your life. It's like the trials penetrated the shield. And the only thing that can sustain you in your trial is what David says, God, you are my glory. I've lost everything and now I'm suffering, yet you are still my glory. No, Charles Spurgeon said this, the Christian knows no change with regards to God. He may be rich today and poor tomorrow. He may be sickly today and well tomorrow. He may be in happiness today. Tomorrow he may be distressed. But there is no change with regards to his relationship to God. If he loved me yesterday, he loves me today. I'm neither better nor worse in God than I ever was. Let prospect be blighted. Let hopes be blasted. Let joy be withered. Let mildews destroy everything. I've lost nothing of what I have in God. He's my strong habitation whereunto I can continually resort. The Christian never becomes poorer and never grows richer with regards to God. Here he can say, it's a thing that can never pass away or change. Brothers and sisters, sometimes God allows trials
that you're enduring now, to go through the shield in order to draw you closer to himself, and in order to reveal the idols in your heart. Therefore, today, if you're suffering right now, today you are in pain, you're undergoing a trial right now, don't waste it. And while you're going through this suffering, let this prayer be prayed by you that is used by William Cooper from his hymn. So if you're going through trial, try praying this prayer written by William Cooper in the hymn called Walking with God. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from its throne and worship only thee. Brothers and sisters, only thee. Only God is to be our glory. Is it really true of you? Or your glory is in your beauty, in your slimness, your beauty is in your job, your beauty is in your riches. What is it that is your true glory? What is God to you? Number three, Yahweh is the lifter of my head. What's the meaning of the word lifter of my head? It is a word picture taken from our body language. Is this? Our head, ang ulo natong bala, is naturally bowed down in times of trouble. Therefore, for God to be the lifter of our head, it means that he will bring you out of the time of trouble so that you are no longer bowing your head in misery and pain because he has lifted up your head. Now, when Absalom staged a coup d'etat, David had to run. He had to leave Jerusalem and run and cross River Kidron to go up Mount Olive. And when he was climbing up the Mount Olive, 2 Samuel tells us that he covered his head and wept. He bowed his head in weeping and crying and grief. Why? Because that is our natural stance whenever we are in dire strait. Our heads are lowered. Our heads are bowed whenever there's bad news, whenever there is pain, whenever there's suffering. But when we got good news, what happened? Our heads got lifted up. When there's good news, our head come out of a time of trouble. When we come out of the time of trouble, our heads are lifted up and we begin to rejoice again. But then, this is not only a word picture from our body language, but the lifter of my head in Hebrews technically also means bringing someone out of the time of trouble. And this is in line with 2 Kings 25:27, where it says the king of Babylon lifted up the head of Jehoiakim out of prison. Genesis 40:13, Joseph foresaw that Pharaoh would lift up the head of the cupbearer out of the prison. The word lift up one's head in 2 Kings and Genesis is talking about one's fortunes are restored. So lifting up of your head by God not only means deliverance, but restoration of your fortune. Now, look here. David did not say when he was running away, I'm going to get my loyal people from around my kingdom and they will get my throne back. He did not say that. When he was running, he did not say, my people will lift up my head. He did not say that. He did not say, I'm going to Pharaoh, my ally, and he will send his army to help me and help me get my position back. He did not say that. He did not say, I'm going to my friend, King Hiram of Tyre. He's also my friend. He will help me to restore my fortune. No, he did not say that. He said, Yahweh will be the lifter of my head. My God will be the one who will turn my fortunes around. My God will be the one to turn my sorrows into joy. My God is the lifter of my head. Many of us, we look to people for help. I'm not saying that it's wrong to look to people for help. Sometimes God does use people to help you. But don't look to the people for your ultimate help, because ultimately your help comes from God. Maybe some of you, the doctor that you expected to help you doesn't have any answers. Maybe the cash cow you expected to supply your financial needs has gone dry. Maybe the connection you counted on to pull some strings for you cannot work anymore. Maybe you found out that the people you thought were going to help you will not. They are not going to be the lifter of your head. Only God can be the lifter of your head. Charles Spurgeon said this again. Some of you have tried to find refuge outside of God. You have sought to find it in your wealth, but you prick your head when you have laid it on that pillow. Some of you have sought it with a friend, but a friend's arm has been a broken reed where you hope it will be a wall of strength. You will never find rest except in God. There's no refuge but in Him. The lifter of your head is talking about deliverance. That's why verse 8 says deliverance belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Next, Notice the personal nature of the lifter of my head. David did not say the lifter of head. The lifter of, you know, God said, no, it's a lifter of my head. My head, I. Kabodi, I, the I ending in every Hebrew word. You will see three mine. Mine. In Psalms 3:3. So to sum it up, is he's a shield about me. He is my glory. He's a lifter of my head. What is he talking about? He's talking about a very personal commitment to God. David personalized what God is to him personally. He did not talk about religion, but he makes God real to be all these three aspects to him. He's not only glory, he's not only the lifter of people's head, he's not only a shield, but he's my shield. He's my lifter of my head. He is my glory. Personalize the attributes of God to your situation, to your very life. Next, what our greater David has done for us. We are creatures of bad vision. Instead of looking up and personally trusting Yahweh to be our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our head, we blindly look to other cheap substitute to be all this for us. That is why last year was a flop for you. And this year is going to be another failure for you if you keep blindly putting your faith in cheap substitute, if you keep putting your glory in cheap substitute other than what God can be for us. Today, allow me to help you visualize what God is to us through Jesus, his son. To talk about the year, because now I'm talking about year 2024. To talk about the year where the creatures God had created that failed him. There is no worse year of failure than the year April 3, AD 33. The year Jesus, the begotten son of God, was betrayed by mankind and crucified on the cross. When Absalom staged a rebellion against David, David had to run barefooted, cross the river Kidron to Mount Olives. And he had barely enough clothes on him. I want to tell you, in AD 33, on April 3, our greater David Jesus Christ, that year was also ousted by the rebellion of his own race, the Jews. And he had to get out of Jerusalem, carrying the cross to this wilderness called Mount Calvary, or in other words, Calvary Hill. There on the cross, he took the harshest blow of life from Satan and from the sinful, rebellious man. He came from heaven. He was supposed to be shielded by God the Father, but the spear of the Roman soldier went past the shield of God and pierced his side, not mentioning the nails that pierced his hand and feet and the crowns of thorns that pierced his head. He was the King of Glory. But in that year, AD 33, he was stripped of all his garments and left hanging naked on the cross. Shame and humiliation became the middle name of Jesus. When he was alive, he went around lifting people up from their sins and sickness. But in that AD 33 on the cross, his head was hung low, or his head hung low. His head was depressed. He has to hang low. Not only because of physical exhaustion, but the weight of the sin of the entire world weighed so heavily on him that he hung his head down. What did Jesus, our greater David, undergo in that year? He was betrayed by his spiritual Absalom, you and me. Absalom is a picture of a self-seeking, selfish human race who love glory and fame and the good things of this life. Absalom points to you and me, the modern Christian or the modern human race, that are the vengeful sons of God who always wanted the throne and the rulership for our own life. We always want to build our own kingdom and not the kingdom of God. So Jesus became the greater David to undergo the betrayal of the century, the betrayal and the coup d'etat of human race, by being pierced, by being stripped, and by being depressed by the sins of the world. For what? So that today, he can give you in exchange his shield around you, his glory, and the lifting of your head. If you dare to look up to Him at the cross and trust Him to be all this to you in this new year. If year 2024 brings in people or events to attack you and pierce you, Jesus will be a shield about you. And even if the arrow gets through the shield, it is not fatal because Jesus has already taken on your behalf the fatal blow by dying for you. If there is stripping and depressing things coming your way in 2024, it's not going to be the end of the world for you, but rather redeeming, purifying, and transforming, because our greater David not only suffered the greater shame, okay, by dying for you, but he was also resurrected. So how can we face year 2024 with what God is to us? Is this: when you dare to personally commit to Jesus to be your shield, your glory, and the lifter of your head, then year 2024 will not be fatal, or will not be a defeat for you, but will be a triumphant year for you. I share this because on January 3, one day after I returned from Taiwan, I was doing my Devo. I was lying on my bed in a dark room because I browned out. I was very, very tired physically. The Taiwan trip had drained me because of the long distance drive. I was too tired to write down long resolution for the new year 2024. And in my prayer, I asked God, what will 2024 be for me? Will it be another year where people fail me? Will it be a year when disease come knocking at my door? Then I heard the Spirit of the Lord quicken Psalms 33, which was actually my Devo. And God quickened Psalms 33 to me. Fear not, my daughter. Even if 2024 is going to bring people to attack you, I will be a shield about you. If there's going to be things or people that's going to disgrace or degrade you, I am your glory. If there's going to be obstacles and trials that's going to weigh you down, causing your head to be cast down and depress you, I will be the lifter of your head. Fear not of what lies ahead in year 2024, because salvation and deliverance belongs to me. I am your salvation. I will always save you, not only of your soul, but I will save you in every situation and from every evil people and difficult circumstances. And definitely, according to verse 8, my blessing shall be upon you in year 2024 because you are my people. That is God's guarantee for me and for you. I end by asking you this question: what is God to you? If you know that He is your shield, your glory, and the lifter of your head, you have nothing to fear for 2024. Even one of the arrows may go through the shield, it is for a divine purpose that is redeeming and transforming. Shall we all stand up? Musicians?